This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Normal Community West High School is 25 years old. It's celebrating that mark tomorrow with an afternoon reception. Current principal Dave Johnson has been there since day one. Johnson joins us to talk about the development of the school back in 1995. He was in his second year teaching chemistry and physics.
And it was just a great time opening a new school. With a whole new staff, the excitement of being in a new school and having Dr. Crabtree for a principal. He was just a great principal. He had lots of energy and made teaching fun and being here fun. We just had a great time in establishing what Normal West was going to be as a school. And so as my role changed from teacher, moving to administrator, and now principal, I've had the pleasure of trying to maintain that culture, improve it, but definitely maintain was a key thing on, what it means to be a Wildcat. And our slogan that was started long ago, "It's a great day to be a Wildcat," is something we still say as part of our announcements every day.
How do you craft a school identity? What are the things that the adults in the room do to foster an environment, to feel a milieu?
And it really came from Dr. Crabtree in terms of who he selected, and not that any teacher that was not selected wasn't a great teacher, but he was looking for teachers that took risks, that wanted to try new things, and opening a school without any traditions allowed this type of teacher to really be creative and have fun with it. He also had a sense of the discipline needed as the school opened, and we were very strict on some of our rules, especially at the beginning, because of, again, not having a history, not having the traditions of what the expectations are. He intentionally was very clear on things we did and then supported teachers and students that were looking to make a mark. So as student council was created and teachers and students were creating the bylaws for that, he was just very open and delegated great responsibility, but also had great oversight to help establish those things. He wanted us to be, and it was naturally that it fit in, a caring school. And again, that's a characteristic a lot of schools have, but it's been probably the top characteristic of doing whatever's needed for our students to help them be successful. Coming up with things over the years, such as our freshman mentoring program and some of the ideas of how we support students that are struggling, are all rooted back in this philosophy of Dr. Crabtree of wanting a school that's caring for their students and wanting a school where the staff is having fun doing what they do.
You're speaking of now retired longtime principal Jerry Crabtree, by the way.
Yes, Jerry Crabtree was the first principal,
followed
by Tom Eder, who continued what Jerry had started and is what I'm trying to continue now.
So what are some of the things that he took a hard line on that you talked about being strict at the start and creating traditions? What was he strict about? What traditions did he try to craft?
I think it was the idea of the expectations were going to be clear and they were going to be followed. So whether it was making sure the staff understood what the tardy policy was, and we moved from Normal Community at that time to Normal West, students were going from an open lunch campus to a closed lunch campus. And he knew there couldn't be cracks in the system that would make our new system, have faults to it. And so there was lots of effort spent on making sure our students weren't leaving campus and making sure they were taken care of in our lunchroom and had things provided for them so that they wouldn't need to leave for lunch. But that was a huge culture change for our students, especially those who had been in high school, had enjoyed open campus, and now are in a situation where they need to stay within the school building during the whole day. I think whether we talk dress code or just student expectations, they were made very clear and then were followed up with by staff, assistant principals, and administrative support. Everybody was working on the same team, and we were a new team that everybody was willing and open to support each other.
Has the culture of your institution shifted incrementally over the 2.5 decades?
There's certainly things, that have shifted as times change. How we've changed with our cell phone policy is something that just changed with the time. Back in the late 90s, when cell phones were becoming a little bit more common, but still not common, they were seen as a device that maybe drug dealers used, and it wasn't common that the everyday person had a cell phone or the need to bring it to school. And so, the consequence for having a cell phone out was a large suspension. You compare that to now, when a teacher has a cell phone come out, it starts with a verbal warning, just as any off-task behavior would do. So that's, I think, evolving with time. Certain things had to change because of how the technology has changed within our society. I think our focus on care and our focus on understanding individual students and being more understanding of differences, I think, has evolved with the times as well. And that this conforming to one standard is not the norm in our society.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Normal Community West High School Principal Dave Johnson about the 25th anniversary of the creation of the school on the west side of town. Normal West has gone through more than now six different four-year cohorts of kids. We talk about Generation X, Millennials, Latinx generation. Are there clear markers in retrospect of culture shifts or cultural cohorts, much as the four-year cohort of a kid progressing through 4 years of high school, or are kids your kids?
I think it's probably a blend of those two answers. There's certainly lots of things that kids are kids. Kids and adolescents, they're learning to be themselves. They are at a point where they often want to challenge authority because they're making that move from being a child and being dependent on others to being independent, and that's a tough time for some kids as they're making that transition. So that part has stayed the same. I think as we look at changes, it's looking at kind of, what our society, how society has changed as well with students. I think, some traditional teaching towards teaching facts that students need to know certain things because you had to have that knowledge to move forward has changed with the internet, and that you can Google things. And so memorization of facts has dramatically changed over the years to how do you solve a problem and how do you use the resources appropriately and understand what resources you have to move forward versus memorizing certain things in classes, whether that's in science, math, or in a variety of areas. So the tools that we now have changed how we teach and how students learn.
How is that changing the adults who develop? If facts are easily discoverable items and process and ways of thinking, methods of thinking and advancing and attacking a problem are the way to go, how has that shifted knowledge bases and experiential learning of kids? How are they different?
I think teachers are constantly having to update their curriculum and what they teach because that knowledge and the skills are changing. I think for a long time, my area was chemistry. There were certain things that had to be taught in chemistry because that's what chemistry was.
And what is Avogadro's number? Yes.
Yeah, 6.02 times 10 to the 23rd is a mole for Avogadro. I think knowing that doesn't have to be memorized, if they can look that up, and it's more about the problem solving of science. How do you use information that you can get to solve a problem, whether it's an environmental problem, a biological problem, and things of that nature, focusing more on the scientific method of again, problem solving in science is the key. And so the standards and targets that our teachers are pointing our students that you have to be able to do this and have these skills, the skills are now, I think, overweighing the knowledge, although there's always that knowledge base that comes with it as well.
With a school identity comes the opportunity or the problem of, depending on your framework, of school rivalries. How has the faculty and the student population approached that?
And that is something that has kind of changed through the years. as West opened, you know, the name Normal Community West versus the high school that had existed for years, Normal Community, some people saw us in the community as being a subset or a smaller school than the original Normal Community. And so at the beginning, there was a lot of different efforts, whether it was in the classroom or school-wide, of trying to separate ourselves from Normal Community. And it wasn't a sense of thinking they were bad. It's just we wanted to be our own high school and not seen as just a younger sibling of this major school. And so the changing of school colors was one of the things that was deliberately done over time. At the time West opened, all Unified schools were orange and black. And as West started to progress, we cut the orange out of our school and replaced it with silver. And that was just something, we needed our own identity, and Normal Community is so tied to the orange, and it is a proud color for them, but it needed to be something different for us. So that was a little bit of breaking some tradition in order to establish our identity.
And students drove that?
It was a combination of students and staff of just, it really kind of started in our football area as they were getting new uniforms and having conversations. The orange was falling away and silver was just kind of coming into play. And so for a number of years, if you would look, you know, according to the IHSA, our colors were still orange and black, but you wouldn't see very much orange and black on our uniforms.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Dave Johnson, the principal of Normal West High School, is our guest this today. Do school rivalries ever get in the way later down the road, post-graduation, of creating a sense of belonging in the Bloomington Normal community as a whole?
I don't see that. Students, you know, we have four middle schools within Unit 5, and students from each of those middle schools do end up feeding into each of the high schools. The other thing that our community has is there's lots of strong community programs, and students from not only Unit 5 school, but District 87 schools will be together in different community groups, whether it's churches, sporting teams, and other things our community has, so that students really know the other students, and although there might be a rivalry and competition, they're still friends. Myself, my kids go to Normal Community, so as the two high schools played football, I was principal of one school cheering for the Wildcats, but my son was on the opposite side and cheering for him as well. And just knowing that, you know, both schools, and including District 87 as another district, are quality education schools, but there certainly are going to be some competition as academically we may compete in some competitions or athletically compete in things as well.
Distinguished alumni are stand-ins for the greater whole. They are representative, but not the be-all and the end-all of the product of an institution. But what are a couple of standout alumni that show what a Wildcat is?
Yeah, I think there's a number of them. One thing we do officially is each year we have a Wall of Fame banquet, and different students or staff members or community members that have been great Wildcats are honored. And so on that wall, we have Adam Kinzinger, congressman, that was a Wildcat and has, you know, gone on to represent well our school. We have
in Congress
some athletes that did outstanding accomplishments. We've had the students that in the area of drama have gone on to be on TV or in the theater in big markets for those types of things. And we have local people, businessmen that give back to the school. We have an entrepreneur class, and I know Bellis Landscaping has been a key part of showing how they have turned, you know, their lawn mowing business into a large, successful business here in town. And there's many examples of them, like the Bellises, that are here in town that will give back to us. Even though there's no formal recognition on the Wall of Fame for a lot of these people, they are common names that are still in our school because of what they continue to do for the community and try to reach out to the students.
What will the next 25 years bring? What are you shooting for in cementing a legacy or cementing an institutional framework?
Yeah, as we try to evolve, right now one of our key goals as a school is continuing to clarify that we are preparing students for college or career or whatever they're going to do beyond high school. We want to prepare them for that. I think in the past there was a large push on just making sure students were ready for college and not as much on career. And so we've been, you know, moving in that direction and having different classes offered that, you know, some students that have taken our welding classes can go straight from high school into well-paying welding jobs. Working with our Bloomington Area Career Center that's housed over at Bloomington High School, we are trying to offer some of those career classes on our own campus. We have a geometry and construction class that we offer now on our campus. We'll be looking to add kind of a pre-nursing program that we hope to house at Normal West High School. So branching out from traditional things that we do to things that are going to support students, yet that traditional education is still needed so that they're well-rounded, whatever choices they make after high school that they're prepared for. I think that's where we're headed right now as a school.
Dave Johnson is the principal of Normal West, which is having a 25th anniversary. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Normal West is inviting people back to mark that anniversary. The two-hour open house will be 4:30 to 6:30 tomorrow afternoon before the homecoming game. The cafeteria will be full of memorabilia. Senior videos will play, 25 years of them. The tradition of seniors painting bricks in the hallway lives on. Former Wildcat artists will bring their adult work for a gallery. And Johnson says they will open a 25-year-old time capsule and then decide what to add to it.